From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now tuned into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Happy, happy Thursday. Can you believe it's Thursday already? That's right. It's Thursday, July 28th, 2016, and we have a great hour of sports talk in store for all of our listeners out there. Well, today's show, the Detroit Lions begin training camp. We'll give you guys a short preview of next year as the Lions sort of make this transition into the post-Calvin Johnson era. It's a little bit weird that one of the greatest football players of all time, arguably the greatest wide receiver of all time in CJ Megatron, will no longer don the Honolulu Blue. So we'll talk a little bit of Lions and also a big name in the world of sports commentary when ESPN is leaving the network. We'll bring that news to light as, again, a huge name, and I feel like everybody's jumping the mothership right now, okay? Also, tonight is a big night for Mid-Michigan sports, seeing as though the 2016 Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame class will be enshrined tonight at the Lansing Center, and we will invite the chairman of the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame, Bob Every, to our airwaves to chat about it. You don't want to miss that. We'll have Throwback Thursday and so much more. Packed show, so much to talk about, so little time. So, hey, let's get this baby started. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, folks, in honor of the late Mike Sadler and through the cooperation of the Sadler family, Michigan State Athletics have established the Mike Sadler Legacy Football Scholarship Fund to honor the former Spartan football student athlete who earned first-team All-American and All-Big Ten honors as a punter and was the only four-time academic All-American in school history. Of course, Sadler sadly passed away this past weekend, victim of a car accident. Through the establishment of the Mike Sadler Legacy Football Scholarship Fund, a Spartan football student athlete will be awarded a scholarship each year in his honor. The fund, created as an endowment, will provide scholarship support coerce for the Spartan football program. All right, former Michigan State running back Javon Ringer has been added to the Spartans coaching staff as a recruiting intern. Ringer is from Dayton, Ohio, and he may concentrate his efforts in that area. Ringer starred for the Spartans from 2005 to 2008, playing two seasons for coach John L. Smith and his final 2 years for current head coach Mark D'Antonio. All right, as I mentioned, the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame is proud to announce the class of 2016. 10 individuals and two teams will be enshrined in the hall at the 41st annual induction dinner to be held at the Lansing Center tonight. Current Sports will be in the house to cover that event. Keep it locked to WKAR.org as well as tomorrow's Current Sports Radio. The class includes, as far as athletes are concerned, the great Jim Brandstatter, Jeff Callard, Mike Creaser, Cliff Foster, Alan Haller, Kristen Haney, Bob Gross, Mary Morrow, and Bob Gross, I should say, is a member of the media, Craig Teft, Jordan Weber. Yeah, we couldn't leave Jordan out, right? And also, as far as teams go, two teams, 1977, the DeWitt Boys Cross Country Squad, and the 2000 Waverly Boys Basketball Team. And the Dick Letts Community Service Award will go to Carl Wagner. As I mentioned, Bob Every, chairman of the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame, will join me on our airwaves after our first break to talk about tonight's ceremony. All right, before the Detroit Tigers took Wednesday's series finale 4-3 at Fenway Park, The Boston Red Sox were the only team in the majors that had gone all of 2016 without being swept. Miggy changed that. That's right, Miguel Cabrera mauled the go-ahead home run in the ninth to make sure the Red Sox joined the ranks of the sweep. Now, it was his 21st homer of the year and his 12th go-ahead shot in the ninth inning or later over the last 10 years, most in the majors. Now, right-hander Mike Fulmer, he cruised through six innings before getting counterpunched by a powerful Boston lineup in the seventh and eighth, but the rookie limited Boston to seven hits and three runs over 7 2/3 innings of work. Detroit now enjoys a day off before welcoming the Houston Astros to Comerica Park for a three-game series on Friday. Lefty Matt Boyd will get the nod for the first of a nine-game homestand, the club's longest of the second half. Now, Boyd is 1-0 with a 1.17 ERA in his last three starts, improving significantly from a rocky start. First pitch is set for 7:10 p.m. The Detroit Lions report for training camp at their Allen Park facility today, with veterans joining rookies, quarterbacks, and injured players who returned to town last week. Now, the Lions will hold inter-squad practices for the first time since 2001 when they traveled to Pittsburgh for 2 days of workouts next month before their preseason opener against the Steelers. Finally, though they returned 18 of 22 starters from last year's disappointing 7-9 team, the Lions have one significant hole to fill at receiver. Of course, following a retirement of Calvin Megatron Johnson. More on the Lions in just a bit, folks. The 98th PGA Championship, the last major of the year, began today in Springfield, New Jersey. Members of the so-called Big Three, which include Jason Day, Jordan Spieth, and Rory McIlroy, are looking for their first majors of the year, while Dustin Johnson hopes to go from majorless to winning two in a single season, and Phil Mickelson attempts to overcome his bad beat 2 weeks ago at the British Open and repeat his success at Ballesteral. Now, right now, as the leaderboard pans out, Jimmy Walker leads everybody, shooting a stout 65 in round one. All right, on Wednesday, the NBA Player Association announced a major policy update for members, past and present. Funded health insurance for all retired NBA players with at least 3 years of service in the league. The NBPA president and LA Clippers point guard Chris Paul called the move unprecedented. Now, the NBPA voted unanimously to approve the measure when it touted as the first of its kind among North American professional sports. Open enrollment will begin this fall and coverage will start January 1st of next year. The Players Union made that announcement. And a big name on ESPN, folks. Former NFL linebacker Tom Jackson is reportedly planning to leave his role on ESPN's NFL coverage, including Sunday NFL Countdown, before the start of next season. Jackson was with ESPN for 28 years. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's start the show, baby.
Decided to retire based off of the way my body felt, the way I felt mentally, and all those things working together. I wanted to not have those problems later down the road. And there are certain things, man, that were really like the way it felt getting up in the morning, can't walk around.
What types of struggles did you have? Because we saw you on Sundays.
Yeah. When you wake up in the morning, can't walk. You know, you're shuffling across the floor, you know. I got to go do like a little routine when I wake up in the morning to get everything functioning and ready to go. But the only thing is everything just goes back to gridlock so fast once you sit down, because you know you go to work.
Are you not playing because you can't or because you just don't want to anymore?
I think it's a combination of both. I can't put in what I want to put in, what I used to put in to get the results that I used to get. I can't put in those same efforts. And I'm not going to sell myself short. I'm not going to go out there and just not be 100%. One, you know, my job is to catch the ball. You know, so when catching the ball, when that kind of hurts, you know, that's another flag, you know. And
it would hurt to catch?
Yeah. I mean, I got this finger, man. This is something else. My thing is, like, actually wearing away, you know, actually, you know, from all the grinding and stuff. I had an operation on it. It's just long-term things you got to think about. It's clear to see when you get a concussion, man. In football, concussions happen. It's not on every play. They happen like every third play. You know, all the helmet contact, guys hitting the ground, heads hitting the ground. It's simply when your brain touches the skull from the movement or the inertia, man, it's simple to get a concussion. You know, so I don't know how many I've had over my career, you know, but I've definitely had my fair share.
Yeah, if you had to guess, put a number.
I couldn't.
Yeah.
I couldn't.
Is how we start this afternoon's Current Sports. Happy, happy Thursday, ladies and gents, boys and girls. You are now locked in to the hottest sports talk show in mid-Michigan. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Al Martin. Boy, oh boy, I can't believe that, man, we are already talking football. It's coming close, folks. I mean, it is July 28th. I mean, August 1st is on Monday. Don't forget to pay the rent, all right? My goodness, it's flying by, though. Absolutely flying by. As I mentioned in our Current Sports quick hit headliners, the Detroit Lions report to training camp today. Oh, boy. You know, every single year we go through it here in the state of Michigan, in the city of Detroit, as we look forward to yet another NFL season. I tell you, the hopes are always high for Lions fans out there because they are hoping that this is the year. This is it. There are a ton of storylines surrounding this Detroit Lions squad. None bigger than Calvin Megatron Johnson absent from this squad. Before we move on, Isaac, keep playing that real quick because I want to start with some trivia. I know you're a big hip-hop head. You should know this. This is from Q-Tip's, one of Q-Tip's latest albums, earliest albums, I guess you could say, when he went solo, right? I don't know how big of a Tribe Called Quest fan you are. I don't know how big of a Q-Tip fan you are, but if you love hip-hop, you got to respect the Tribe, right? I'm going to give you a hint. You know, I know you're a big music aficionado. When you listen to this, can you tell me the original song that this was sampled from and the producer who made this beat? I'll give you a hint, though. He's probably the biggest music producer, one of, I should say, to come out of the city of Detroit.
Whew. You're giving me a tough task.
I'm putting you on the spot. I know.
I actually could not tell you the album or the original song that this came from. I love Tribe Called Quest. I love the classics, but I can't say I've delved too much into it. Okay. I haven't followed the solo careers of the artist after the breakup or anything like that. If I had to guess, I'd say J Dilla.
Got one of them. Okay, yes, J Dilla produced this beat. Rest in peace. J Dilla, one of the greatest hip-hop producers of all time. And this is actually from, when Q-Tip went solo, he used to link up with Dilla all the time. And Dilla had a huge hand on A Tribe Called Quest as well when they were really starting to get popular. And that, can you name, though, the song that was sampled from?
I cannot.
Okay, I'm a big Michael Jackson fan, and that's from the Jackson 5 Dancing Machine.
So real?
You can hear it
okay,
in there, too.
Yeah, now can, I hear yeah. you. Okay.
So, oh. yeah, so dig that. So a bit of, we just don't talk sports here on Current Sports. We give you music lessons every once in a while as well, all right? That's one of my favorite instrumentals, though. But, yeah, so let's talk about Calvin Johnson. From Q-Tip to Calvin Johnson. Great segue there. You know, this is a team that, again, for Lions fans out there, you have hopes. You have high hopes for your Lions every single year, hoping that the Honolulu Blue will finally break through and make a deep run in the playoffs and possibly make a Super Bowl appearance. There is going to be a lot of question marks surrounding this squad. Again, none other than how will the Lions combat the absence of one of the greatest football players of all time. You can make a case that he was the greatest wide receiver of all time. In my opinion, I have to, for me, I don't think anybody will eclipse Jerry Rice just based on the longevity. But, you know, you look at what Calvin was able to do throughout his career, and it's eerily similar to what another former Detroit Lions great, Barry Sanders, was able to do throughout his career here in Detroit. And Barry had a great career, and, you know, it didn't last long, but when he was out there on the gridiron, I mean, my goodness, he was so fun to watch, and many people consider him to be the greatest running back of all time. I mean, just imagine what Barry's numbers would have looked like if he would have played longer and the relationship between Sanders and the Lions organization was better. And now you have a similar situation like that in Calvin Johnson, but I give a lot of props to Calvin Johnson because, as you just heard, that was a snippet from Johnson's sit-down with ESPN's E60 show, which they do all of these in-depth features on various topics in the world of sports. In-depth features. I love it. I absolutely love E60. It kind of reminds me of what they do at HBO's Real Sports with Brian Gumbel. And that was one of the recent episodes as Michael Smith of ESPN sat down with Calvin Johnson. Calvin's first one-on-one interview since announcing that he will no longer play the game of football. And, you know, when you listen to what Calvin had to say in that interview, you get it. You get it. You know, being a selfish fan aside, and if you are a Lions fan out there, you know, putting your feelings aside, and, you know, I understand you want him to be back out there helping this ball team and hoping that he could change his mind, which isn't going to happen now. But Calvin Johnson put health first, folks. He put health first. And he's a guy who, I assume, with him making this move, was very smart with his money throughout his NFL career. He made a ton of it. I assume that he was very smart with his money to pocket a lot of that to make sure that when he was going to retire, if it was going to be sooner rather than later, that he was going to be financially set and that he didn't have to worry about anything. So the reason why he did that, he made a move based on his body, and also the demeanor and outlook of how he views the game of football now. Football was not fun anymore for Calvin Johnson. And it's especially not fun if you play for the Detroit Lions. You don't win with the Detroit Lions, okay? And, you know, Calvin was on that team where, you know, statistically the worst NFL team in the history of the sport. You know, with the team that chucked up a donut, like 0-15. He was on that squad. So he's been through so much throughout his career, health-wise. And, you know, he talks about his finger, how it hurt to catch the football. And he's had multiple surgeries on one finger, so much so that the finger is basically just grinding away. It's like bone on bone, basically. And, you know, he talked about the concussions as he hit on the later part of that interview. Like, you know, the game has become so physical, and he believes that, you know, a concussion happens every 3 plays in the NFL. It's that physical, and he can't even name how many concussions he's had throughout his NFL career. So he put his health first. He put his long-term health first, and you have to respect that as a person. And again, you're playing for the Detroit Lions, so it's not fun anymore. So you get it. From a logical standpoint, you get why Calvin Johnson decided to walk away. He just got married. Congratulations to him. And actually, his lovely wife, you know, Brittany McNorton, she actually went to school here at Michigan State. So he married a Spartan. So he's a smart man. He's a smart man, all right? So how would the Lions combat this? Well, that's not, I think, is the question going into next year, but it's not the only question going into next year. There are multiple, folks. There are multiple. You know, you look at Matthew Stafford as he embarks on yet another season. And, you know, it's interesting because you look at Matthew Stafford, especially last season, he started off so horrid. Heck, the entire team started off so horrid. If you remember, the Lions began that year 0-5. 0-5. They lost to the Chargers. Then they lost to the Vikings. Then they were at home against Denver and lost. You know, Denver, of course, eventually went on to win the Super Bowl, so I get that one. Then the Seattle Seahawks, then the Arizona Cardinals. They had a tough, a tough stretch to start that year, and they started 0-5, which basically put them out of playoff contention before the season even got started. And, you know, the first win that they got was on October 18th of last season against the Chicago Bears, and that one had to go into overtime in order to get a dub, which they won by just 3 points. But you evaluate how Matthew Stafford started that year, and it wasn't great. It was not great by any means. I mean, through the first 7 weeks, Stafford was the lowest graded quarterback in the entire league. But then something happened. You know, the switch completely flipped, and, you know, light came on in the room. And from week eight through the end of the season, he earned the eighth highest overall grade and the highest in the NFC North when you look at overall efficiency. He also jumped from 20th to 7th in adjusted completion percentage over those same spans. Still, he will have to adjust to no longer having Johnson. In many ways, throughout the career of Matthew Stafford, you know, Calvin Johnson was a safe haven. You know, I don't know any other way to put it. You know, how many times did we see Matthew Stafford run out of options and then he would find some way, somehow, Calvin Johnson, by no means open, down the field with defenders flanking him everywhere, just throwing up a Hail Mary jump ball, and Johnson would just haul it down because he was that good. Stafford won't have that luxury anymore. He just won't. And, you know, you look at what the Lions are trying to do now, and, hey, big props to Lions GM Bob Quinn, because I see what he's trying to do here. He's making moves. Bob Quinn is making moves. And I really like the move that occurred this week. You know, if you haven't heard, but the Lions have added Anquan Boldin to the roster this week, bolstering an increasingly deep and talented receiving corps, with the exception of Calvin Johnson, who will be unquestionably missed. But having Boldin with this squad will help, I think. And this is why I say with Boldin. Now, again, he's on the last leg of his NFL career, but I still believe that he has at least two more good years left in his NFL career. If Anquan Boldin can go out this season, at least just get the Lions 50 to 60 catches, I think they can live with that. I think they will be happy with that production. But hey, in order to open up your passing game, you have to have a good running game. And the Lions did not have that whatsoever last season. And hey, it's not all on the running backs, because the Lions running backs undoubtedly had a difficult task of running behind a porous offensive line that ranked 26th in run blocking. It was bad, folks. You know, Amir Abdullah had some impressive runs as a rookie, but he just didn't get more than the offensive line provided often enough. And as a runner, he forced just 12 missed tackles and ranked 59th out of 68 qualifiers in both attempts per missed tackles forced and elusive rating. So I'm getting kind of deep here with the X's and O's, but bottom line, Amir Abdullah did not have any pockets to run through. And when he did, you know, get out in the open field, he's not that great at breaking tackles. That's the point I want to make here. Now, hey, Theo Riddick, you know, he's an excellent receiver out of the backfield. And last season, he earned the highest receiving grade for a running back when you look at the statistics and compare that to others. So I think he can be also a weapon that can be utilized. But again, that offensive line has to be better. All right? So, you know, and you look at the question marks for this team. Again, the offensive line was addressed in the first round of the NFL draft for the Lions, as, you know, for a second consecutive year, they picked an offensive lineman, this time on Taylor Decker, to start at left tackle. You know, Decker's speciality is run blocking, and he has a lot of potential, but you can't expect one man to solve this problem. It's going to take a collective effort. So you have to run the ball. In turn, that will open up options down the field for Matthew Stafford. But this is going to be – Matthew Stafford is going to have a huge spotlight on him, because we are going to see just how good Stafford is. when you take away arguably the greatest receiver to ever do it, as a quarterback, your job just became that more difficult. So, and also, you know, I talk about that secondary. The secondary was ranked 23rd in the league last year. You know, Darius Slay, he's progressed nicely over his three-year career and looks to be on the cornerstone of the secondary. He's coming off one of the best seasons we saw from a corner last year, ranking second overall in player rating and seventh in coverage. But the secondary's biggest question mark, in my opinion, is that number two corner position. You don't have to worry about Slay. Slay's going to go out there and do his thing. And I think at number two, I've been reading reports all morning, and it looks like, you know, that number two corner position may go to Nevin Lawson, who graded 101st out of 111 corners last year and allowed as many touchdowns, three, as he had interceptions and pass defenses combined. Step your game up, Nevin. That can't happen. That can't happen because, you know, what happened many times last year is we would see the offense put up points, but then we would see that Detroit Lions secondary give up those points in a matter of 5 minutes. So, man, Jim Caldwell, he's gonna have a heavy plate as the Lions begin training camp today. As far as, you know, my prediction on the Lions this upcoming year, first off, I think it's too early. I think we have to evaluate how things pan out in training camp, who gets those starting spots. We have to see what happens in preseason. Again, this is a Lions team that, again, started 0-5. They finished 7-9, third in the NFC North. We have to see how those position battles pan out. And as I always say, you know, before the Lions kick off to start a new year, you just never know with this team. Call in, folks, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I want to invite right now, before we hit our first break, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, who you heard to start the show, Isaac Constance. Isaac, what do you think about this Detroit Lions team as training camp starts today?
You know, I think the obvious storyline, you hit upon it pretty well, is Calvin Johnson, his absence from this team. And that makes all the difference in the world. What I think is, in the NBA, it's a quarterback-determined league. And what I mean by that is you've got maybe eight quarterbacks I think that you can win a Super Bowl with. Mm-hmm. And I've always struggled to see whether or not Matthew Stafford is that guy for the Detroit Lions. One season, he looked like a top four or five quarterback. Other seasons, he looks totally careless and willy-nilly and doesn't make a move which he thinks smart the entire game. So without Calvin Johnson, it's time to really take the gloves off for this team, examine where you need to go, and I think that's what they'll do. Golden Tate is a very capable number one receiver. I think after this year, we'll call him a top 10 receiver in the NFL. I think the kid's that good, but I'm with you. The questions mainly lie on the defensive end. Now, I know you needed some addressing of the offensive line as well. That's why you got Decker in the first round, but I think A'shaun Robinson, you'll see if he's a plug-in and play player because the Lions have missed Nick Fairley and Ndamukong Suh, tough name to say, ever since he left. And even though he hasn't been the same on the Dolphins, even though it looks like it's probably not the smart move to sign him, even so, you want to see what this team can do to kind of fill that void. Then you've got, of course, DeAndre Levy coming back from injury.
Yeah,
interesting to see how strong
right.
he is.
And that's the point I want to make. I think this linebacker core for the Lions is going to be good.
Yeah.
I love the linebacker core. I'm in love with DeAndre Levy. He was one of the best linebackers in 2014. Again, he's coming off a season in which he was injured, but if he's healthy, man, this dude is a guy who can fly around the football field.
He was a top 5 linebacker in the league regardless of position when he was healthy. So
right.
that'll be very interesting. Also, I've got questions in the secondary just like you, not only on the corners. I think corners, it's one of the most important positions because you are on an island yourself. It's isolated. At the same time, a good safety can mask deficiencies out on the corner wings no matter what. And that's the question I have. Can Bush sort of cover that? Can he manage to get over, make his move? Because the Lions' safeties, I think, are still a little bit suspect. Now, the blessing for this team, you already mentioned his name, Darius Slay. Mm-hmm. Get this man a contract soon because he is a top five corner and he can lock down whoever you set him up aside of. So I think this Lions team looks good. I don't think it looks Super Bowl worthy or anything like that. And that's the thing. It's this team has always, for the past few years, been stuck in football purgatory where they're good, they're competing for a playoff spot, and there's no question that that is the extent of their reach. Let's see if this team can make a few moves, you know, have a few overachievers as this season goes forward, and then find something to build upon, because what this team needs is a long-term project. I think Jim Caldwell is the man for the job.
Right.
I think he needs a few more years at the helm.
Yeah, I love Jim Caldwell. You know, and I remember last year when the Lions started 0-5, of course, the immediate easy cop-out for fans when a team is doing, you know, subpar at best is to attack the head coach. That's the easiest cop-out. Now, I remember I hate that. It's such, you know, it's a position that the average sports fan out there, you know, takes the, you know, it's just an easy route to attack because when you look at the entire picture, because I remember getting into a huge argument over the holidays. I remember last year with my cousins about this, and they were just attacking Jim Caldwell left and right. But I'm sitting there saying, what about the other problems on this team? I mean, what about that offensive line? You know, Matthew Stafford has no time to throw the football. I mean, Matthew Stafford, to his credit, again, I mentioned how those first 7 weeks he was not great. In part, you know, that had to do with just the protection. I mean, he had no pass protection. You know, he would have, on average, like 3 or 4 seconds to make a decision to throw to get the football out to a receiver. That doesn't help you. And the run game, that's the big thing for me. You have to have balance. If Matthew Stafford is going to be successful next year, he is going to have a great offensive line that opens pockets up for his backfield. Simple as that. Because once that shuts down, the Lions were so predictable last year. They knew that every time. They knew you had no run game. They knew that. And they knew that Matthew Stafford was going to throw the football. So it made it very easy to defend that offense.
Well, one alternative, I think, to that, though, and I'm saying this as a New Orleans Saints fan, because we never had that good of a running game. It was only respectable enough so that you had to defend against it. That's it. But what the Lions do is there's no mid-range game for this team. Mm-hmm. They didn't have the 10-yard out receiver. They didn't have enough screens in the offense. Every single thing that Matthew Stafford would do is either a bailout dump to a tight end who's running a short, quick route, or a pass to the running back, or a Hail Mary.
Right.
That doesn't work. You need that mid-range game. You need to be unpredictable in your passing selections.
Yeah, totally agree. So, folks, what do you think about the Detroit Lions as they begin training camp today out in Allen Park, Michigan? Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, or even tweet me at either Al Martin, WKAR, or at our official Twitter page for the show at WKAR_sports. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll be chatting with the chairman of the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame, our dear friend, Bob Every. The induction ceremony takes place tonight at the Lansing Center. That chat and so much more. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and I will be heading downtown Lansing later this evening to the Lansing Center as the 41st annual Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame induction ceremony will be taking place. Oh boy, it's always a fun time. This will be, let me do the math here. This will be, I believe, my fourth year going. And I tell you what, folks, it's gotten bigger and better every single year. And a man who has had a hand in making this whole ceremony bigger and better each and every year is Bob Every, who is the chairman of the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame. He joins us via telephone right now to talk about all the goods that will take place this evening. Bob, first off, my man, how you doing?
Big Al, I am doing just fine. Thanks a lot for that stellar introduction, buddy.
Oh, you got it. Always good to hear from you, Bob, and I look forward to seeing you later on. Now, first off, Bob, what's the preparation been like for you for the 31st Annual Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame ceremony?
Well, honestly, this is one of the biggest events at the Lansing Center each year, and consequently, it's a big event for me, so I gear up for this thing, just like I'm getting ready for this is my Super Bowl, so to speak. You know, there's so many people involved and so many people to be honored and done and honored in the correct way that we really have to get after this thing months in advance to make sure we pull it off to everybody's liking. And I think that the people that are being inducted tonight, once they walk out of that room, you know, I want them to say, man, this is something else. And so we work real hard to make sure that that's going to happen.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, the pot has been brewing on the stove since December when you guys came out with the official names and teams that will be inducted tonight. Give us a brief rundown of who will be getting their names enshrined into the hall tonight, Bob.
Well, okay, Spartans, hold on to your hat now. Don't go throwing a big tissy over here, because the first guy I'm going to give you is Jimmy Brandstatter, the East Lansing area football standout who went down to play at U of M and is now the voice of the Michigan football team on broadcasting and the color man for the Detroit Lions. We then have a guy out of East Lansing and Sexton. He actually won a state championship at Sexton, transferred to East Lansing, and won another state championship in wrestling, Jeff Collard. We have one of the premier swimmers, a four-time All-American that went to Lansing Eastern High School, Mike Creaser. One of the all-time great athletes that I've ever been involved with in playing sports is Butch Cliff Foster. Butch is deceased now, but he played football and baseball and basketball at Sexton High School. A tremendous athlete. We then have the longtime great prep sports reporter, Bob Gross from the Lansing State Journal. And Bob probably did more to promote high school girls sports than anybody in this state. And I really mean that. He's a tremendous writer, a tremendous individual. Of course, Bob passed away some time ago, but Bob's going to be inducted tonight. And then we have that two-time great sportsman, Alan Howell. Now we're getting down to some Spartan country here.
Ah, there we go, Bob. All right.
Alan was such a great track guy and tremendous football player. Played for the Spartans, played for several NFL teams. And, so Alan is also being inducted tonight. And then we have another Spartan. How about Kristen Haney? Probably one of the, if not the greatest girl basketball or woman basketball players to ever come out of the mid-Michigan area. Played on that national championship game of Michigan State a couple of years ago played for the Sacramento Monarchs when they won the NBA, the WBA championship. So Kristen's going to be inducted. We got Mary Morrow, who I consider and who I coach, played on my national championship softball team. Mm-hmm. Mary is a three-time All-American. She won two All-Americans, one at Atlantic Community College and a couple at where she finished up at Cornerstone. And then we have Craig Tepp, a great running back out of East Lansing, who went on to break all sorts of rushing records at Central Michigan University. If that's not enough on the individuals, how about Jordan Weaver? Probably the greatest gymnast of her era, world champion, gold medal winner. So Jordan will be inducted. And those are the individuals that are coming in. And we have two great teams to wrap around those individuals. And one of them is the 1977 DeWitt Cross Country team, who was selected by the Michigan High School Athletic Association as the top cross-country team of the decade, program of the decade in the 70s. And then to go along with them, we have that great 2000 Waverly basketball team led by Marcus Taylor, Courtney Scott and Melvin White, and then Phil Odlum, of course, was the coach, and they won the state championship in 2000. And then to finish off the night's festivities, we always present the Dick Litz Community Service Award to a person that's deserving, and that award goes to this year, goes to Carl Wagner, who is John Smoltz's mentor. Carl has literally mentored thousands and thousands of young men to play the game of baseball over the years, and was a World War II veteran, worked for the Lansing Fire Department for years until he retired. But that's the rundown on the inductions tonight.
Oh, boy, that should be quite a night at the Lansing Center, Bob. Now, for all the procrastinators out there in the listening audience, are there still seats available for anybody to squeak in?
We got about eight tickets left, literally about eight tickets left.
Oh, so you talk about squeaking in. That's going to be very tough. Those are going to go quick.
Yeah, and, you know, those will be I'm going to take those with me when I go back down to the Lansing Center here in a couple of hours. And they'll be used at the will call ticket table. And but for all practical purposes, if you haven't got a ticket now, you're not going to get one.
I'm telling you. Oh, boy. Folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with the chairman of the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame, Mr. Bob Every. Now, Bob, how do you plan on making this year's ceremony bigger and better?
Well, I mean, the inductees that we have coming in really have sold this. And it's such a diverse group of people, you know, and I suppose our headliner would have to be Jordan Weaver, the gold medal winner. But, you know, when you take a look at some of the other people, like Branstad and Foster and all those guys, I mean, people from the mid-Michigan area, they know these people. And of course, some of them are getting up there in age, you know, and that's basically what a Hall of Fame does, is it recognizes athletes long past their prime and honors them for what they've done. But you know, their memory is still alive, and people still remember that. And we've had no problems selling tickets. I mean, I do the tickets, so I've talked to all sorts of people saying, "Well, I remember when Creaser did this. I remember when Foster did this." You know, and you know, every time they call, you've got to spend a minute or two with them on the phone because they've got a story to tell about these people. And then you know, what makes it nice on the other side and comfortable is the Lansing Center people. Scott Keith, the CEO of the Lansing Center, does a tremendous job with the setup. The Chef Jeff does a great job with the meal. You know, all of the people that we have on our selection committee that are volunteers help us, and we'll recognize them tonight, help us, you know, do all the other stuff. But we understand, you know what, that this is a special event, and we have to do everything we can to make it as special as it is. And I believe that sells the program in itself. I mean, to recognize local area athletes is very important, in my opinion. And so we work real hard at doing it, and everybody understands the value that it brings to our community. And we offer a good product, and that's what sells it.
Yeah, and that's so true, Bob. I mean, when you look at some of these names, I mean, you know, like a Marcus Taylor and a Jordan Weaver, I mean, some of those names really sell themselves when looking at the ceremony. Do you guys make it, you know, a priority to try and find another big name each and every year to attract the audience, even though that audience outside of the Lansing area?
Well, it's amazing. We have, and I've said this many times, Al, that I don't know any area the size of Lansing, Michigan, that has produced as many great athletes as this area has. And you're absolutely right. You know, when you've got the likes of Magic Johnson and John Smoltz and those types of people, it's an easy ticket to sell. But, you know, we're surprised at the guys that may have been forgotten for 30, 40 years that everybody still remembers. And the excitement is coming from them. You know, they've now either have gone on to be school teachers, they've gone on in other occupations in life to do something, but the same type of value that they had as a performer, as an athlete, has carried over into their private lives and influenced people today like they influenced people when they were participating, and that's what people want to support. They want to support these guys and these gals because, you know, they're good people to our community, and so it's not, you know, this is something that pretty much sells itself, and it really recognizes, you know, how great it is to be from the Lansing area. And so we're fortunate that we have a good product, and, you know, and it's not a tough sell to be to be frank with you.
Bob Every, chairman of the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame. I briefly want to talk before we get you out of here, Bob, about Jordan Weaver. She will be inducted, I believe, as the youngest inductee of all time at 21 years old. Is that right?
You got it.
Wow.
You know, listen, we know she may be young at 21, but in the gymnastics world, that's an old gal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's what I want to bring up, Bob, because I know that her honor is a clear product of how the sports of gymnastics is really laid out. Many of those who participate say that you are in your prime at, 15 years old.
Yeah.
But do you think that Weber's induction will inspire young pups who hope to have their name in the hall one day?
Well, I certainly hope so. And Jordan, God bless her soul, she's just delivered to us the leotards that she wore in the World Championships. They were now on display in our museum at the Lansing Center. That's quite a treat for people who have not been down there. You know, it's not just about plaques and the people being inducted. It's about a lot of the stuff that was worn by these people in competition, and they all have a story to tell. But Jordan, you know, we're looking at Jordan. Okay, what sense does it make to penalize her by being out the 10 years that our bylaws state that a person has to be out after they quit competing? So we instituted a provisional rule this year that will not only apply to Jordan but other people that come behind her, that we do have the power as a selection committee and a board to go away from the Hall of Fame bylaws and look at special cases and bring people like Jordan Weaver in as opposed to making her wait 10 years before she gets inducted. And a no-brainer that, you know, I mean, this is a no-brainer.
Right? I mean, you didn't have to think about that one, right? Oh, my goodness. And also, I think this is interesting as well. You know, you mentioned, you know, Bob Gross. He's the lone media member going into the hall this year. Bob, of course, he covers sports at the Lansing State Journal for 34 years before he was sadly murdered in June of 1996. Bob, just put in perspective what Gross meant to media sports coverage here in the Lansing area.
Listen,
and
Bob,
I'm pretty sure it's going to be very emotional tonight, right?
Bob Gross was a personal friend of mine. I played softball on several of the same teams that Bob Gross played softball on, and he was a tremendous competitor. And you know, he really thought that the girls, when they became of age, you know, when he enacted Title IX in '72, he felt that they needed a special springboard because they were so far behind in how people maybe appreciated what they had to offer in the sports world, that he took it upon himself to be the knight to promote girls' high school sports, and he did a wonderful job. He was a wonderful individual. He was a tremendous athlete, and he was a gifted writer, very gifted writer. I don't know anybody, quite honestly, in the sports world around this area that didn't know Bob, number one, and didn't like him, number two. I mean, he was a great guy, and I sure wish he was here. I mean, but his, you know, his two brothers and his sister will be here, and his one brother, Don Gross, is you know, he played the major leagues for 9 years with the Pirates and the Phillies as a pitcher. So it's a big night for them. They're coming down from Weedman, and we're gonna do a Bob Wright tonight.
Oh boy! Again, folks, the 41st Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame induction ceremony will take place tonight at the Lansing Center. Dinner scheduled for 5:45 p.m. followed by the ceremony at 6:45 p.m. Bob Every, the chairman of the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame. Bob, thanks so much for your time, and I look forward to seeing you this evening.
Yeah, Al, thank you for all your support. Sure, we do appreciate that, and we got to figure out how we can get you a little bit more involved in this, okay, buddy?
Hey, let me know. Let me know. I would love to.
Okay, Al, take care, bud.
All right, you take care as well. All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will put a bow on this, baby, like we do each and every Thursday with Throwback Thursday. What exactly happened on this particular date in sports history? That and more. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Man, time flies when you're having fun. Just 9 minutes left here in the show. If you're just now tuning in, shame, shame on you. We just chatted with Bob Every, who is the chairman of the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame. Again, that induction ceremony will take place tonight at the Lansing Center. I will be in attendance. Isaac, I believe, are you coming as well? We'll both be there, right?
Yeah, try to.
Yes, yeah, we will. I'll be doing a report for WKAR.org. I will also be there with interns. Man, Current Sports is going to be deep tonight. I'll be there with also interns Sierra Pryor, as well as Bria Thompson. They will be helping me out on the shoot, and they will be booking. They have another event. They're so busy. You know, our interns, Bria and Sierra, they're so busy. They have another event to go to at 7. So they'll be literally helping me with the shoot, maybe doing two stand-ups, and then chucking up the deuces. But it's going to be a great night, though, Isaac. What do you look forward to every year? I think, was last year your first year coming?
Last year was my first year at the Greater Lansing Sports Hall of Fame banquet, and it was a good time. What I liked most, I guess, was beefing up on my mid-Michigan history. It's good that they give you a report on basically every single athlete who was inducted. And obviously for people like Jordan Weaver, you don't really know or need to be informed anymore on that. We already have a bevy of media coverage swarming around her. But for some of the area's best talent who might have passed your glance, and for a newcomer like me, somebody who I might just not have heard of, to be honest, it really does help learn more and more about the area itself and how rich the cultural history here is when it comes to sports.
Yeah, so true. So true. Very well said. All right. Well, it is Thursday, and each and every Thursday, we love to hop into our Current Sports time machine and dial the clock back a bit to check out what exactly happened on this particular date in sports history. Well, it is July 28th. Back we go.
But the Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wing, there's a drive to left. That one is long.
Eisenman back over his step. Into the slot for Brown. Shoots. Yes. And there it goes. You never know when to expect it. Darren McCarty said before.
All right, folks, as I stated, it is July 28th, 2016. But what exactly happened on this day in sports history? Well, man, this may be the most uneventful Thursday that we have ever had here on Throwback Thursday in Current Sports history. I only have three events for us, Isaac. You know, all that build up with the music and everything, and I only have three events. But the first one, we have to go back to 1991 for this one. Dennis Martinez of the Montreal Expos, he pitched the 13th perfect game in Major League Baseball history in 1994. I'm trying to go slow here to really soak up this Throwback Thursday. Yeah. 1994, Kenny Rogers of the Texas Rangers pitched the 14th perfect game in Major League Baseball history. So you had the 13th game, perfect game, take place in 1991, and then 3 years later, to the exact day, the 14th perfect game took place. Then last but not least, a man who, gosh, I have mixed emotions about this man, but his name is Lance Armstrong. Back in 2002, he won his fourth straight Tour de France. Now, Isaac, I know you're a big Tour de France guy, and I sat back. This had to be about, I want to say about 2 weekends ago, and I watched a documentary centered on Lance Armstrong. I don't think it was the 30 for 30. It was someone else produced it. I forget who produced it. But it had all of these interviews from those that knew Lance personally, you know, former teammates of his back when Lance was completely dominating the sport. And, you know, it talked about, you know, what was taking place behind the scenes that led to Lance just churning out win after win after win. Then it goes through the whole Live Strong campaign. Then it talks about how Lance used to try and intimidate reporters who would question his performance-enhancing drug use, and then it goes to the eventual demise of Lance, where he just absolutely comes clean during the Oprah Winfrey sit-down. And I sat there and watched it, dude, and Lance Armstrong has to be one of the biggest villains in sports history.
He should be.
When I watched him sit up on that podium and just intimidate reporter after reporter who would question his PED use. And he would get personal with them. Like, he would personally attack these reporters and, you know, attack their credibility. And there was one story about one guy who was at the airport with his wife, and Lance Armstrong calls him up and threatens his career and says that you won't last long in this business, all this kind of stuff. And I couldn't believe some of the stuff and to the and the extremes that Lance Armstrong went to try and cover up that whole scandal. I just don't like the guy.
And to decry his teammates' use of doping as well, when it comes out later that Lance Armstrong had a team where doping was the minimum. That's what you had to do to be a part of it. And I think the movie you're referring to is The Armstrong Lie. It was a 2013 documentary.
I can't remember the name of it, dude. I know when I saw it.
Fantastic showing, though. And
right.
It really did unveil a lot of the unglamorous side of cycling. You saw the same thing with baseball. But comparing Lance Armstrong talent-wise to other cyclists of his time isn't fair. They pale in comparison. I know Lance Armstrong dope, but at the same time, that's like comparing Barry Bonds to Alex Rodriguez. Both doped. You can judge who's better afterwards, considering that they had the same means, different ends. At the same time, though, Lance Armstrong, what was so hateful and spiteful about the guys, you mentioned him. He'd belittle reporters and belittle his teammates, and he kept going after it, and he kept being such a martyr and a hero because the guy had went through cancer and mm-hmm. had this beautiful story. But yep. to come out on the other side and use that just to get a head start almost on the likable game and to play up that card every single time he was criticized, it was really ridiculous. And one thing I have to say is he's came back a little bit stronger ever since admitting it. I don't respect the way the guy goes about his business, but he rode in Kalamazoo following that atrocious slaughter of five cyclists. And that was very, very much so a step in the right direction.
What's he up to now? Is the Live Strong campaign, does that still exist?
I believe that his fundraising efforts still go on. He might have, however, distanced himself from the Live Strong name just because that was a lineage to, you know, his doping days.
Right. Very, very true. Okay, folks, before we get out of here, I want to give you guys a brief update on the PGA Championship. Again, the last major of the golf year, Jimmy Walker has the lead, shooting a 65 in round one. Also, the Detroit Lions, again, begin training camp today. Although it's a free ticket that you can attend from the public, you will not get into Allen Park or Ford Field for training camp without a ticket. The first day requires an armband, which obviously you will need. But most days require you to get a ticket to attend. All right, folks. Well, much thanks to Bob Every of the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame and to all of our listeners out there. Same time, same place tomorrow. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have one fantastic afternoon, and be easy, people.